You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Western Canada Wilderness Committee and the Sierra Club of BC released a Freedom of Information document a couple of weeks back. The document shows a table of the number of full-time equivalent park rangers who work in BC provincial parks. The document seems pretty innocuous, but it contrasts with comments Environment Minister Barry Penner made earlier that week about the number of park rangers patrolling the parks. The environmental groups call Penner's statements about how many park rangers work in BC wildly erroneous. George Heyman is executive director of the Sierra Club of BC, and he joins me this morning by phone. Hello, George.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Penner was responding to criticisms regarding recent park ranger staffing cuts when he made the statement that you describe as wildly erroneous. What figures did he give?
Well, Minister Penner said there would be some cuts to park staff, and he said that the amount of rangers on duty for spring and summer would likely drop from about 225 to about 200, which would be about an 11% drop. But these are not full-time positions. He led people to believe that they were full-time equivalent positions. In reality, park staff work seasonally, even those who are regular employees. The real figures are the present number is only about 63 to 64 positions, including regular positions and auxiliaries, and they're set to drop it to around 50 for the entire province. So his figures are so wildly out of line, one can only presume that he doesn't want the public to know just how bad the state of monitoring of our parks are, or he's woefully misinformed about the status of his own ministry, neither of which is good news for British Columbians who care about parks and protected areas.
Now, has he explained the discrepancy between his statements and the documented numbers?
Well, he simply, I think, refused to acknowledge them, but the FOI is clear. They're taken from budget documents. In 2006-07, there were 63.8 full-time equivalent positions, which is down from 2000-2001, around the time the Liberals took office, of about 93.9. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to understand where the minister gets the number of 225 full-time positions, even if he was talking about the number of employees that it takes to make up the 63 to 64 FTEs, he's still wildly wrong.
Well, what kind of work do park rangers do?
Well, park rangers ensure that people are safe in the parks, that people who are in the parks are not doing damage, that there's no danger to habitat or wildlife. They used to perform many other services when the parks were more highly staffed. There were interpretive services, but I think most British Columbians who care about our parks, and that includes, you know, all of us who like to take some leisure time and take it in the province and take it in the wild areas, know that since the Liberals took office, there was just a range of very controversial measures in the parks that began with cutting staff, both in parks and the Ministry of Environment. It included allowing more industrial development, even parking meters in the park parking lots, resort development within park boundaries. It's essentially been a combination of downsizing, privatization, and commercialization, none of which I think British Columbians expect when we're talking about wild spaces and protected areas.
What's been the response in your assessment of the public in BC to those kinds of cutbacks?
Well, the public, I think, has been disappointed in those cuts, in many cases angry. That's particularly true, in the interior, out of the lower mainland areas of the province. And in a time like now when, people are cutting back, there's less available cash, people are worried about the future, but it's time to go away somewhere with your children to have a bit of a vacation. What better place than BC's parks where the average family in British Columbia can appreciate the glorious nature of our wild spaces, of wildlife, of the scenic beauty of British Columbia, getting away from, the hubbub of work and the sea. And And what's happening, and what's been happening over the last few years, is it's becoming more difficult to get there, more difficult to be assured that when you get there, you won't find a trashy mess by the relatively small number of British Columbians who go to park areas and abuse the habitat. And it's just a far less quality and enjoyable experience. What we're left with now is just some appalling numbers. By the time these cuts go through, there'll be less than 50 full-time equivalent positions to actually look over a huge amount of British Columbia wild space. It's really just a token that's left. We've seen over the last couple of years, and for instance in the lower mainland parks, significant cuts, early layoffs of staff, even at times when, for instance, Labor Day, even though people are still hiking in September, the rangers are laid off. We see the rangers on Seymour and Cypress basically being laid off at the end of March, so marker poles and signs on the hiking trails or the snowshoeing trails are removed, even though people still want to use it when there's snow on the ground. It's becoming a much more limited, a much more constrained experience, and of course, when you don't have people regulating and monitoring the use of the areas that we call protected, that British Columbians expect to be protected, that the government claims they're protecting, we're risking that something bad will happen to damage habitat, endanger wildlife, ruin the area and ruin the experience. None of that's what we should be building up in British Columbia, a place that prides itself on its beauty and relies on its tourism.
What about the argument that parks don't, quotes, pay for themselves?
Well, that's just simply flat wrong. The reality is that for every dollar invested in park habitat and ensuring that park habitat stays as pristine as possible and accessible to tourists and British Columbians, there's a very significant additional return. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but it is significant. So it's actually an investment that brings money into the province, both in terms of taxation revenue and economic spin-off benefits. I think what we've experienced over the last few years and what we're seeing from Minister Penner's lame excuses about why in this difficult economic time we have to cut back on park staff and other services that he claims British Columbians don't deem essential is essentially an abdication of the British Columbia government from a broader responsibility for public resources and public well-being. A document was unearthed yesterday that indicates that over the next 5 to 7 years, the Liberal government is planning on downsizing the public service generally by a little over 50%. It doesn't take much imagination to realize that the 50 positions that are left in parks now and the massive downsizing we've seen in the Ministry of the Environment generally would be one of the first places they'd go to make those cuts. What we have are staff who are aging. Many of them are up for retirement in the next 5 years. The standard joke in the parks branch is, will the last person to leave turn out the lights? Because people are not going to come to work in a seasonal job where they know that even if they become a regular employee, they're going to be laid off for half of every year. They're going to be looking elsewhere, and British Columbians can look forward, and I use that term loosely, to an era when we'll have little or no monitoring of our wild spaces and our parks, and if it is, it will be done through privatization, which I think the British Columbia public has grown very cynical about based on our very real experience of how poorly it's worked in many other areas of public services.
Now, I'm actually a pretty avid user of parks, and I think over the years I've really seen a real change in the parks. As I remember when I first moved to BC, I think that actually camping in the parks was free or very close to free, and now it's really increased to a cost that, for instance, a young person who might want to get away for the weekend, I think it might be prohibitive on the kinds of income that people have when they're starting out working, or they're maybe are a student. How do you think parks? What's your vision for how park should fit into the overall life of British Columbians, both from an environmental perspective and from an engagement perspective with citizens in BC?
Well, like many British Columbians and an increasing number of British Columbians, I grew up in an urban area. I grew up in Vancouver, and my first experience of the beauty and my first joy in nature and wild spaces was when my parents would take me to a park. And over the years, as we spent more time camping in the parks, which is in a sense a controlled and accessible and safer introduction to camping and hiking. Many people eventually will go further out into the outback as they gain more experience. But it's quite possible to have a very moving and connective experience with nature in the parks. But partly that relies on accessibility and cost. And like you, I remember the times when it was free or a couple of bucks. But it also relies on having trained and knowledgeable staff who can. One, ensure that that there aren't 100 people in a park having a quality experience whose experience is ruined by one or two people who go there simply to have a rowdier experience. So when you don't have any monitoring, you essentially raise a greater possibility that people who aren't coming to the parks for a nature experience will essentially cut loose. The other thing that you get with trained, experienced park staff are explanations of the area, some of the flora and fauna, the ability to assist people if they need a bit of help, ensuring that A, they're not doing anything that's damaging to the environment or others, and B, that they're comfortable and safe in their experience. That's a very small investment to make to ensure that the park's experience is what it should be for people, and that it leads to the kind of appreciation of nature and wild space that we're becoming increasingly aware as a society that we need to regain, particularly with greater urbanization. It goes hand in hand with our awareness of the importance of habitat protection, the importance of paying attention to issues like lowering our pollution and carbon emissions so that we're actually leaving a planet that's habitable for future generations and that can be appreciated by future generations, because we haven't wiped out the wild areas that remind us of what a integrated web of species and environment and habitat really sustains this planet.
George, what do you think people can do to express their opposition to these continual cutbacks of staff and to the overall policies towards the parks that the Liberal government has taken?
Well, I would say to British Columbians, notwithstanding how busy most people's lives are and the day-to-day concerns that people have, whether it's for their children or their own economic future, is pay attention to commentary by groups like the Wilderness Committee and the Sierra Club that question the figures that Minister Penner and others throw out so loosely. Do not allow them to get away with spinning numbers that are not accurate, and don't let them get away with saying we're great friends of the environment at the same time when their actual actions in governance on behalf of us say that it's a very low priority for them. Insist that they provide the staff necessary and the money and resources necessary to protect habitat and to ensure that when we set aside land as protected area, that we enhance it, that we protect it, that we make it available to people in a non-damaging recreational experience.
Well, I appreciate your talking with me this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with George Heyman. He's the executive director of the Sierra Club of BC.